Chapter 32. The rude blonde's voice was almost gone. She had been screaming through her gag from the moment she came out of her dream-filled stupor. You can scream for just so long. Only one other person was in earshot, the plain-faced man who'd stood over her, watching her, soaking up her panic like a lizard warming its cold blood on a rock in the sun. He seemed to enjoy the screaming, enjoyed her straining so hard against the straps that held her tight to the table. Eventually, she had nothing left in her to scream with, and her panic dissolved into sobbing. When the tears came, he gently stroked her sweat-soaked hair, smiling that smile of his. That frightened her most of all, his smile. His eyes went opaque, and he seemed to go into a place in his head. She didn't want to think about what went on in that place. During her lucid moments, she had tried desperately to remember where she recognized him from, but it was always just beyond her grasp, like an itch too far down her back to reach.
"Shh, shh," he said in a nasal whisper, putting his index finger across her dry, cracked lips. "I haven't even hurt you yet. If you stop crying, I'll remove the gag for a while and give you something to drink. If you misbehave, though, I promise you, you will regret it."
He put his lips so close to her right ear that they brushed against it. She could hear his excited breathing. He said,
"I would like that very much. I would like it if you misbehaved."
That stopped the crying, but only induced another round of screaming into her gag. There was profound panic in her eyes, and she struggled mightily against the restraints. Then suddenly there was a popping sound, and her body went stiff with pain. Following the stiffness came her clenching in pain, but her left arm hung oddly off her shoulder. He laughed at her, shaking his head. He'd seen this before. Sometimes, when they fought too hard against the straps and twisted in just the wrong way, they would dislocate a shoulder or an ankle.
"You've dislocated your shoulder," he said. "Immensely painful, isn't it? If you keep this up, I won't have to lift a finger to hurt you. Live with the pain for a while. Let it be your teacher. Maybe, if you behave, I'll reset it for you."
"Are you going to behave?"
She nodded furiously.
"Are you sure?"
She was nodding even more intensely now. Anything to make the pain stop. Anything. She'd never felt anything like it before. She was dizzy and nauseated from it.
"Please, please," she shouted through the gag.
He smiled at her.
"Not so rude now, are you?"
She didn't understand, but shook her head.
"Please, please," she screamed again. "You did this to yourself, you know," he said. "All I wanted to do was have lunch in peace. But you just couldn't leave me alone. You just couldn't sit at another table."
Then she knew. The itch was scratched. He was the guy from the barbecue joint, the one who got the beer spilled on him. Maybe it was the after effects of the drugs or the intensity of the pain, but suddenly the absurdity of her situation struck her as funny. And instead of screaming or sobbing into her gag, she laughed. He'd seen this, too. It was a kind of pain-induced madness. He didn't like it very much, even if he understood it. He laughed with her for a few seconds. Then his eyes went opaque, his laugh morphing into a mocking imitation of her laugh. He put his face very close to hers.
"I'm glad you think it's funny, because laughing is misbehaving."
With that, he stood and pushed hard on her dislocated shoulder. The laughter came to an abrupt halt. Again, her body went stiff with pain. When her body went limp, he began to stroke her hair again.
"Don't worry. I'll reset your shoulder. You and I are going to get to be good friends over the next several weeks. Good friends. I'm going to teach you things about yourself that you never knew you were capable of. But for right now, I have some calls to make and other business to attend to. When I come back, I'll do as I promised. While I'm gone, While you learn to live with pain, think about your rudeness. Make it the only thing you think about.
When he left the room, he took out his throwaway cell phone and dialed a Boston area number.